we all have a day, we all have an hour, we all have a second where our life's going to end and we're not promised anything. And so if we just sit here and say, one day when I, then I will,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be doing that the rest of our lives.
I know.
Welcome to Cut the Crap with Beth and Matt, the world's number one no bullshit health and fitness podcast.
Are you ready to cut the crap with your diet and exercise, get strong as fuck, and build a healthy relationship with food? Then you've come to the right place.
Let's go.
If you'd like to support us in the podcast, join our Patreon where you get exclusive content, which consists of monthly workouts you can do at home or at the gym, monthly challenges that are either strength, habit, or mindset based, and access to over 100 plus low-calorie, high-protein, family-friendly meals. These are all designed by a professional chef who is certified in nutrition. These recipes are already in MyFitnessPal for easy fucking tracking. New recipes are also added each week.
We believe that fitness is for everyone, so this is our way of getting you started on your health and fitness journey at a price most everyone can afford. So what the fuck are you waiting for? We'll see you in the Patreon.
Hey,
Hi!
Joe.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you two?
Doing great.
Yeah, pretty good.
So Joe Sheehy, we are excited to chat with you today. So we're just rolling right into recording,
man. Let's do it.
So Joe, you are the CEO of Cured Nutrition, and we would love to know what Cured Nutrition is all about and why you decided to start the Cured Nutrition company in the first place.
Yeah, awesome. So Cured, some people would consider us a supplement company. We live in what would be considered the supplement space. But if you were to go to a fitness expo and you were to see the Cured booth, you would see us sticking out like a sore thumb. And there's a very specific reason, because we just do things differently at Cured.
Yeah.
And part of our mission is, one, to change the narrative around alternative healing methods, one, cannabis, and do it in a way that helps people start to actually change the narrative that they have in their head about specific things like cannabis that has been established over the course of time through propaganda for 100 years, through the DARE program. And so our supplements help humans be humans. Humans struggle with stress, humans struggle with lack of sleep, and our goal is to help people with the most common problems in a very alternative way, and through doing it in a method of first educating and saying, hey, who is the person that could be a cannabis user? Are they highly respectable? Are they somebody who has high ethics and morals? Can you trust them? Well, guess what? That's not the Cheech and Chong stoner mentality, and that's not the person sitting on the couch. That's a different person. And so for us, we've really focused on the health and wellness space to help change the narrative. And we envision a future where more people are going to our products than ending the workday and going to alcohol or going to so many of the other destructive things that are so commonplace in our world. And that's our mission.
Love it.
Brilliant. Love it.
You mentioned the alcohol aspect, right? I feel like for some reason that cannabis can be demonized, but alcohol is glorified, right? And one is completely different than the other. Like, I don't see anybody driving down the road and getting in an accident, massive, killing themselves with marijuana or cannabis. But what your product is really a mix of CBD, et cetera. It's not like you're getting super high off of it, but it's more relaxing. But there's such a stigma between the two. Do you know where that comes from, or why is marijuana so that's bad?
Yeah.
Let me have my wine. That's good for me.
Wine o'clock, mommy wine down.
Yeah.
Time.
So
then you're a drug addict, right? If you use cannabis.
Yeah. Well, it really started, and it's what I didn't mention in the beginning is I started this company because alcohol almost ended my life. So my cousin died in a car accident from a drunk driver. My uncle died from drinking himself to death. My grandpa died from cancer, ultimately throat cancer from drinking.
Oh, wow.
And then I, when I was 21 years old, almost ended my life. I was going to jump off a bridge and I was blacked out one night. I was so depressed. I was using alcohol and other drugs, but I got to this place where I would just black out all the time. And so I almost lost my life from alcohol as well. And what I recognized is that this is very common for a lot of people. And if that's true, I know three people in my family that passed away from alcohol, almost lost my life myself. I've never heard a single person lose their life from marijuana, just like you said, Beth. And so I just started asking questions. And the truth is that in the early 1900s, William Randolph Hearst was involved in secondarily the paper industry, but he was involved in news, print news. And the newspaper was printed on paper. And hemp was actually a threat to paper mills, because you can make paper from hemp, you can make paper from trees. Mm-hmm. And so William Randolph Hearst was heavily vested in the print newspaper industry, and we're seeing that hemp was threatening to printing via paper. So that's where propaganda really started. It was the narrative that hemp and marijuana and cannabis, they just started portraying this narrative that made it so people started to stigmatize it. And that's just evolved and continued over really over 100 years. And then it led to the DARE program, which said that heroin is the same thing as marijuana. You know, the story of your brain on drugs, that's marijuana as well.
Wow.
And so personally, that's what I grew up in. And for the longest time, it was just the story that I was being told. But if you look into history, as far back as 10,000 years ago, there were religions that were using cannabis as basically a sacred plant, as something that they used and considered as a gift from the gods. It was used in ceremonies, and it was used very intentionally for medical purposes. So it's been used for thousands of years, if not tens of thousands of years. But in the recent 100, 150 years, it's been demonized. And it's partially because, one, where I was discussing with William Randolph Hearst and paper industry and newsprint, but also the pharmaceutical industry has seen cannabis as a massive threat. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all understand why, because there are very few side effects. And we as a company are working to not use it in a way to get you high and escape, but to get you the relief and the calming, and then to show you that it wasn't actually what you thought it was. And it's all dose dependent. So if you do it at very low dosages, you're actually going to get the relief, the calming, the sleep, anything. And so it's a narrative, Beth. It's really just a narrative that continues to compound on itself. And you know, I think that's in such alignment with what you two do and all of your content is just, there's a lot of BS in the world.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't question it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy? People don't question it. They will just take someone's word for gospel.
Yep.
Well, it's because, I mean, especially when it comes to weed and or marijuana and alcohol, because alcohol is just, we're on it from the time that we're born. It's just normalized. It's mm-hmm. there. It's just always something where it's at sporting events. It's at children's events these days. It's everywhere, but there's still that stigma with marijuana. And I do appreciate, and I like, just here in Ohio, we legalized it this past year. Hallelujah. And I know a lot more states are doing that. So yeah, it's good to see forward progress. I don't know what it's going to look like from a national standpoint, but I'm encouraged that it's going to be there within hopefully a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be. I mean, since I got into the industry 7 years ago, the story was always in 5 years, it'll pass federally legally. And so 7 years ago, it was 5 years, and today it's still 5 years. So I don't really know what's happening. It's a moving target. And actually, I do know what's happening. There are big regulatory bodies that are funded by pharmaceutical companies that are being told to make it so this can't actually move forward for some time. And my thought is just until they can actually have their hands in the pot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought. But
yeah.
I agree with you. It's my belief, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any means, but this is just what I see. It's lobby groups, it's politicians, it's Philip Morris or whatever tobacco companies paying people to spread this propaganda and to push these agendas until they're able to capitalize off it. That's all it is. Yeah. They need to get their foot in the game. They need to get their infrastructure in place, and then they'll be able to profit off it. That's when it'll be legal, in my opinion.
Yeah, comes down to money.
Always.
Me too. Yeah. And then it makes it very hard for us to operate in the short term. And then the other piece of all of this is some of the stigma, some of the narrative is actually true. So if you walk into a dispensary in Colorado or wherever you may be, you walk in and you're met by this bud tender who is the stereotypical stoned, like, dude, like, you need this. This is how you get as high as possible. And so that's not what Cured is. We are 100% trying to change that and make it so that the image of who the person is that can utilize this plant is a very normal human. It could be a mom that just wants to relax at night. It could be a dad that has very stressful work and wants to get home and not go to alcohol, but take a gummy or get a little bit of calming, get a little bit of relief, be a different person with their spouse, be a different person with their kids, and then not have the side effects. Like, that's what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And so there's a bunch of different angles that we're really recognizing need to be shifted and impacted in a different way to, like, rebrand or give the industry a different image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And you mentioned gummies there as well. And I love gummies. That's actually how I kind of got started with microdosing and experimenting more with cannabis, especially in my 30s is when I really started with that, when I started dealing with stress and anxiety. And I was looking for other ways to, I was like, alcohol just isn't doing it for me. I was noticing alcohol did nothing but make things worse for me, my anxiety, my stress, everything. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's got to be something better. I was already doing the lifestyle management stuff. I've been doing that for a while. But with the gummies, with your product in particular, like you said earlier, you're not getting people stoned. It's just like essentially the minimum effective dosage, a micro dose. So could you kind of explain how your products work with the CBD, the cannabinoids, and the micro dose?
Yeah. And that's where I think a lot of people, some people come to me and they'll say, how are you doing this? How is this legal? How does this work? And so if we were to look at cannabis as a genus or like a genome, below it, if you were like creating a family tree, so cannabis is the top, hemp and marijuana are both cannabis, but the difference between the two is one has a higher concentration of THC and one has a lower concentration of THC. And so hemp is classified as cannabis with less than 0.3% THC. We extract all of our extracts from the hemp plant. So there's very, very low dose THC in it, but there is THC in it. It's much higher. It has much higher concentrations of CBD. The cannabis plant has over 100 known cannabinoids in it. And we'll talk about CBD, maybe CBN, THC, CBG. Those are some of like the most known and minor cannabinoids, but there's a bunch. And we're just at the forefront of those all being studied. When you extract the extract from a high CBD cannabis plant or a hemp plant, you're going to get high CBD, low concentrations of THC, all in one extract. That's considered a full spectrum extract. So it has an array of cannabinoids, and then it also has what's called terpenes, which are basically like the flavor profiles, the aromatic parts. That's basically like the closest to a whole plant holistic extract. It's the least refined extract. The more you refine it, you would get to an isolate. So if you think whey isolate or any of the other supplements, it's just extremely refined. We try to do the least amount of refinement to keep it as whole plant as possible. When you take our gummies or our calm caps or our night caps, you will see that there's a low concentration of THC in them because we're keeping it as whole plant as possible. Mm-hmm. But we keep it below the legal limit of 0.3% by dry weight. So the most you'll get in any of our products is about a milligram. Whereas if you were going into a dispensary, you would typically see 5, 10, something like that. So there's like the initial where you can see the difference. It's much lower, like a fifth or maybe a tenth of the dose of a normal edible. And then we also combine it, like with the gummies, we combine it with L-theanine and ashwagandha and reishi. So some people would worry that THC would make them anxious, but with L-theanine and ashwagandha, those are very calming. So you're not getting the anxiety effects. You're just getting the calming effects. And we ship it nationwide. It's from a hemp plant. It's a hemp extract. It's 100% legal. We follow at the federal level, it's the 0.3% concentration is the law. But then state by state, the laws are a little bit different. And we follow the Colorado laws for hemp extracts, because we believe that Colorado's on the forefront and is doing it right. Some states are doing it a little bit differently, but that's our process. It's extracted from hemp, very low concentrations of THC, higher concentrations of CBD, and then about a milligram is the max that you would get in one serving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Serenity gummies are my favorite.
Absolutely. They're so good.
I have to say, I mean, I'm a very anxious person in general, and I don't drink alcohol anymore for 9 years. But since business is getting busier, I have more stress. I notice like by 2-3 o'clock, I'm like, okay, it's time for a Serenity gummy. And it immediately takes me down a notch.
Levels you off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
That's what it is. It's just, you know, some people say take the edge off or just like unwind. It's really, that's what it is. It's just like, an exhale. Like I can exhale. I can slow down. I can be more present. And that's how I take them as well, Beth. End of day, about 4 or 5 o'clock. I typically end work around 5:30, 6 o'clock, but around 4:30, I'll take one and it just eases me into the evening.
Yeah.
I'm really calm going into dinner. It really helps my mind slow down because you two know as entrepreneurs, you're building the business at 1 a.m. in your head and you're like, you can't stop it.
You wake up thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So it's just really getting that. How can I unwind? How can I exhale? How can I get a little bit of relief and calming, but then not have side effects from it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't feel high or anything. It's just, it's, you just feel a sense of calm really is what it is.
It's like what people turn to for that glass of wine or the whiskey after work is literally being actually being provided in, in the product in that form. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the wine, like in that moment or the alcohol in that moment, might make you feel like it's having that effect. But as we know, it comes after, right? The anxiety or the stress that comes after drinking. Whereas with, as far as I know, that doesn't really, that's not a thing with cannabis.
Yeah. Like you need more. That one glass of wine is never usually enough for some people. It's okay, I need more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that feeling goes away and you need to consistently ingest it with, and like the Serenity gummies, it's just, it's there. I don't have to take 18 million gummies after.
No, don't. That's not recommended because you would get high.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know about you two. Even if I have a glass or two of wine, I think I said this to you both in Vegas. I've gotten to this point where I will have a drink maybe once a quarter and I'll have a glass or two of wine. That affects my sleep. I notice instantly I can't fall asleep. I wake up and I don't feel like I actually got the rest I need. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend recently, he said, he's been sober for 6 years or 7 years. And he said, Joe, why don't you just say that you're done? Cause you're in this like weird place where you do it every once in a while. I was like, I don't know why. I'm just done. Like it doesn't serve me at all. Yeah. And another point is that Dr. Matthew Walker, he's considered the sleep doctor. There have been some studies that show that high dosages of THC actually do affect your sleep negatively. And I've actually noticed that as well like when I actually used to use a lot more. But there aren't studies showing that what happens at the low dosages that we use. And so what we always do is we always ask our customers to send in their sleep scores from the Oura Ring or anything like that. And over and over and over again, people will show the improvement in their overall sleep. One, their deep sleep, but that also affects their REM sleep as well. The deeper sleep you get, the more REM sleep you're going to get. And then that's really a complete night's sleep. I think, Beth, you have an Oura Ring. I think we were talking about that in Vegas. You did?
I mean, I do. Actually, and it's funny you were talking about the Oura Ring and sleep because I didn't take the nighttime capsules for probably 3 or 4 days. And my sleep was showing like 77. It was in the 70s. And I'm like, well, that's so weird. I wasn't getting REM sleep, right? I was like, okay, start taking these again. Took it last night. It was the highest score I've had in like a week. And my REM sleep was all the way up in the green. I'm like, this is incredible data right here.
We get that over and over and over. So I'm very excited about the industry. And I think it all just comes down to intention as well. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're not creating a product for people to escape.
Right.
And I think there are a lot of things in our world that people are using to escape. Mm-hmm. It's not to escape. It's actually to tune in, to slow down, to just like
mindfulness.
Listen to your body a little bit more because your body's telling you something all the time. And whether you're listening to it or not, that's the question, right?
It really is. Really is.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned studies. I'm curious about, I love talking about studies. There's so much research that needs to be done in this field. Now, is that from the reason why we haven't had a lot of research done? Is it because that it's not legal, so it's harder to do to study it?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We'll do internal studies where we'll, over the course of the last several years, we'll say, hey, we're going to do a sleep study. We're going to send out a bunch of free product, send in your sleep scores. So we have a lot of, it's not even anecdotal because there's actual data showing that people are improving their sleep.
Like clinical.
But yeah, almost. It's like almost, obviously there's, we don't have the same controls, but yeah. A lot of the studies that need to happen are being held back because of the regulations, because of you can't get federal funding for it, because a lot of those times those are happening at universities, and right. There's just the funding isn't going into the industry. It's a weird world and it's a little bit of a mess, but that's why we're doing what we're doing to we believe slowly be able to shift this and then be in a place where as things start to get legalized, as things start to get, they're actually talking, the DEA is talking about descheduling marijuana right now, which that should have happened a long time ago.
I've been reading that too, yeah.
But yeah, it's just an interesting world. And I think that the more that we open our minds to just being able to change our minds, like mm-hmm. I thought this, and then I thought this, whoa, like you can do that. And I think that we live in a world where I think people demonize people when they think that they can't change their mind. It's like, you can change your mind. You can get new data. You can get you can have a new experience and mm-hmm. you can change your mind. Maybe go experience it for yourself and then make a decision for yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we do know there is research showing how cannabis can be beneficial to those with cancer, mm-hmm. and helping sleep quality and helping appetite regulation in that aspect too. So cancer patients are routinely prescribed cannabis mm-hmm. to help them because they're not eating when they're going through this treatment. So that's a very good use case for that too. So so that goes back to the whole medicinal use. There's so many medicinal uses from stress and anxiety. And I know there's a lot of research that needs to be done there, but anecdotally speaking, it's really mm-hmm. helped me tremendously.
Yeah.
I was recently diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. And that's something I've been struggling with for a while now. As anybody that's listened to our podcast and followed me on social media can attest to this last year or so, it's gotten really bad, panic attacks and everything. Mm. And I'm starting my day with the Serenity Gummies has absolutely helped me. My days are crazy. Like I start my day off every morning with 2 hours of driving to take my son to school. That alone makes me very, very anxious because I'm just driving and I'm thinking about my day and all these things I have to do. So I definitely noticed that difference. I still had it a little bit, but the noise, the feeling, the sensations in the chest and everything, it was a lot quieter and it definitely helped with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, I can understand that too, especially as an entrepreneur when I used to commute 2 hours every single day to up to our office. We went fully remote this last year and my life has changed so much by just walking upstairs into my office, because when you want to get things done, but you're not at your computer and you can't get it done,
yes.
You can't do the thing. It just like compounds.
Everything's stacking up.
You had a two thing to do list when you left, and then you get home and you have a 15 to do list. Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing we can all agree on, it's that life is hard. And with that comes a level of stress that can often be debilitating. Balancing your mental and physical health often seems like you need a PhD to achieve. And so often, we are only able to focus on one or the other, which can lead to a less than enjoyable life. And that's why I loved Cured Nutrition Serenity Gummies. From coaching calls to leadership meetings with my team, to tapping into my creativity for new content, to closing business deals, and even interviewing guests for this podcast, the Serenity Gummies have proven to be a valuable part of my self-care routine. I take them daily to help manage my stress and anxiety, and doing this allows me to perform at my absolute best, which helps me serve others to my absolute best. Formulated with their trinity of ingredients, a blend of full-spectrum cannabinoids, functional mushrooms, and adaptogens, Serenity Gummies are your answer to finding calm in the chaos that we call life. Right now, Cured is extending an exclusive offer to you, our listeners. You can grab a bag of Serenity Gummies for 20% off by visiting www.curednutrition.com/CTC and using coupon code CTC at checkout. That's CURED nutrition.com/CTC and coupon code CTC at checkout to save 20%.
So what are you waiting for? Pop a gummy and protect your peace, and let's cut the crap together.
So I want to kind of backtrack a little bit. You said when you were 21, you had that experience with the bridge and when you were drunk and everything. Like, what happened from there? What changed from there?
Yeah, so I explained how alcoholism ran in my family, addiction ran in my family. My mom escaped it. There's the story about the man that had two sons, and the man was an alcoholic, and the two sons have completely different stories. One says, I became an alcoholic because my father was, and the other says, I have never drank because my father was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
We're all influenced differently by experiences. My mom ran as far as she could from alcohol. But growing up, my mom had anxiety and depression, and a lot of her experiences that I don't even really know about, but I just remember opening up the cabinets when I was a kid, and I would see orange bottles and white lids. And I never really questioned it. But then later on in my life, I was just like, that was just the standard approach. You fell off and you were instantly prescribed something. And like, to be honest, when it's done right, it can help a lot of people. So I don't want to say, like, I've said a lot here, but I'm just like not saying that this is an across the board thing to the right person. It's very helpful. Mm-hmm. But I had this internal question, and I was like, I don't know if this is the only way. When I went to jump off the bridge, that night I was stopped by somebody underneath the bridge. It was 2:30 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. Thank God this man was underneath the bridge. He stopped me. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. Can I come up there and pull you back over the guardrail? And I just burst into tears. He climbed up the rocks around the bridge and pulled me back over the guardrail. And I got walked home to my house that night after that time. And I had taken a handful of Xanax when I got home. And my girlfriend at the time stayed awake with me the whole night, just making sure I was breathing. The next day, I was in the hospital under 24-hour surveillance after a suicidal attempt. And my parents were there listening to the whole process. The doctor asked me, we're going to run some tests. Is there anything we're going to find in your system? And I was just listing off a bunch of things. And I saw the life just get sucked out of my parents, because not only did they almost lose their son, they recognized that their son had just completely lost himself. And
damn.
The weeks and the months afterward, I was going to different psychiatrists and different therapists, and I was getting prescribed all sorts of different things after having already been prescribed anti-anxiety medications. And I kept drinking, so I was still making terrible life decisions. But it just got worse. I just got more depressed and still had suicidal ideation. And I was like, there's got to be a different way. I just became very resistant. I'd had that experience, had seen the pill bottles growing up, had questioned it. And then I was in the same story. Like, it was like instantly prescribed. And I was just like, I don't feel right, and things aren't improving. And it wasn't until probably a year and a half to 2 years after that night where my mom was just trying so hard to help me. And she actually ended up introducing me to this man, Dr. Andrew Weil. He's the founder of Center for Integrative Medicine at U of A, I believe. And he's also the founder of True Food Kitchen. But in this book that my mom gave me is called Spontaneous Healing. I started reading about things like taking high dose fish oil, using vitamin D, using different herbs, using nutrition, proper nutrition, getting sunlight, moving your body. And it was like my first introduction to an alternative route. And that's when I started to become obsessed with, hey, there's a different possibility here. And it took several years, but I started talking to more and more people. And probably about 4 years after that night, I was just completely sober, nothing. And then marijuana was legalized in Colorado. And that was when I was starting to get curious. And that was when I ended up finding CBD, and I started taking CBD. It would help me feel calm. It would help me sleep. And I just got to this point where I was clicking away in corporate America, sitting at my desk, living the Thoreau quote, most men live lives of quiet desperation. I was 27 years old, working for Lockheed Martin. I was an aerospace engineer. I'd worked so hard to get there, but I would look around and I would see my colleagues, 45, 50, whatever. And I was like, a lot of them don't seem happy. And I just started questioning, I was like, is this my path? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was in the bodybuilding world, the online fitness world. And so I had was starting to get this itch of wanting to be an entrepreneur. And one day my boss just completely belittled me in front of a bunch of people. And I had just gotten to this point where I was like already not wanting to be there. And my boss basically gave me a permission slip. I was like, I'm done. I'm out of here. And I was seeing another therapist at the time, and I was telling him the story about where I was in life, what I wanted to do, how I felt trapped in all of these areas. And he goes, Joe, can you please just stop there? We're talking in circles, and I've noticed something in what you're sharing with me that I want to reflect back to you. I was like, what are you talking about? And he reaches to the desk and he pulled out a business card and he wrote something on it and he handed it to me. He said, Joe, I'm going to give this to you, and I don't think you're going to come back as a client, but you just need to give this to yourself. And I flipped the card over and he had just written permission on it. And he goes, Joe, you're waiting for permission from everybody in the outside world to go make a decision that you want to make, but nobody's going to give it to you besides yourself. And that night I ended up leaving his office. I went at 9 p.m., put in my letter of resignation. I woke up the next day and I had this idea because I had heard people in the fitness industry had interest. I was interested in alternative supplements, whatever you want to call it, and woke up the next morning, no job, about a month and a half worth of savings and an idea. And that was in September 2017. And now 7 years later, Cured is the company that I've been working on for the last 7 years. And it's really just been purpose-driven. Like there's a whole purpose behind it. It's partly mm-hmm. my story, but partly just, I think so many people are interested in another option. Mm-hmm. And so this world is just continuing to evolve and more people are raising their hand. But that day with my therapist has really shifted how I've looked at life completely. Whenever we want something in our life, at the end of the day, it comes down to whether we want to give it to ourselves or not. And so many of us live our lives just waiting for the outside world to give us mm-hmm. permission.
Yeah.
But the longer you live like that, the more frustrated and disappointed you're going to get, because you're not going to get it from who you're looking for. And maybe you will get it, but you won't even hear it. It has to come from yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you step into the world of entrepreneurship and building a business and learning this whole thing while you're doing it, you really have to start to trust yourself more. You really have to listen to your intuition. You really have to ask yourself, what is it that I really want every single day? And that for me has been the course of life and building my business and building connections is, what do I want? How do I want to help people? And why do I want to help people? And I just continue to ask myself that over and over. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of like answers for life and what we're supposed to do with it. But I think if we're following a why, and we can recognize that there's a tangible impact on other people, live a life of service, then you can actually feel it. And yeah. that to me has been really helpful in the difficult times, because business is really hard. But when you get that feedback, you see the results, you see how you're helping people, mm-hmm. it helps.
Yeah.
It helps ease the difficulty. It helps keep you going. It helps keep you motivated.
Yeah. What an incredible story. Honestly, like it was giving me shivers. It kind of reminds me of myself in a way a little bit, that you're always one decision away from a totally different life. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like for me, it was driving drunk with my kids in the car. I could have killed somebody. And so I decided the next day to walk in an AA meeting, which was the hardest thing to do. Like I've been thinking about it for years, but it's like, there's that one thing, like you would know if you don't do it, that it can go another route. Like for you, it's like, you just needed to make that decision, quit that fucking job and follow your passion.
Yeah.
And look where you are now. It's incredible. And like purpose is a driver.
Yeah. I tell this to people all the time. And for the longest time, with my wife, most of business and people that have followed me on social media, and a lot of times on podcasts, I'll tell my story. And at one point, my wife and I were talking. It's like, should I just at some point stop telling this story? Mm-hmm. Like, is this something that I'm just going to continue to tell over and over? And I was reading this book by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. And in the book, I had read it before, and I had folded this page. And I got to this page again, and I folded it. I was like, why did I fold this page? What was I marking? And I was reading the page, and I got to the bottom of the page, and in the book, he's talking about the story or the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And in It's a Wonderful Life, there's a story of a man named George. And George was going to jump off a bridge, but this angel, Clarence, appeared to George and stopped him. And the angel, Clarence, showed George what life would have been like had he never been born. And what was so wild to me was when I was reading that passage or that section of the book, I just had chills pour all over me because I recognized something. And I told you both that this man, Ben, was sitting underneath the bridge that night. What was he doing at 2:30 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, sitting underneath the bridge? And I started questioning more. I was like, I wonder if Ben has ever seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life. I wonder if in that moment he recognized it was his opportunity to be Clarence to George, like be Clarence to me. And I started questioning more and more. I was like, what was Ben doing underneath the bridge that night? And I actually know because I ended up meeting Ben afterwards, days after that night, because when he pulled me over the bridge, he took my phone, put his number in my phone, texted himself, and days later he texted me and said, "Hey Joe, how's the world today?" And when he said, "How's the world today?" and I remembered that text, I was like, that was literally Clarence to George. But what was even more powerful about all of this was what he was doing. Ben was sitting underneath the bridge that night at 2:30 a.m. on a Tuesday morning writing poetry. He was getting inspiration for a poem that he was writing to be presented weeks later. And so you want to know why it's important, so important to pursue what you want with your life, pursue what you feel passionate about, because who the hell knows when you're going to end up underneath a bridge and save somebody's life. And then that person's going to go on to affect hundreds of thousands of people through their company. Like something as simple as I want to go write a poem and I want to do it because that's what I want to do. I'm passionate about it. And he didn't know that he was going to go sit underneath that bridge and then save my life and then have the effect that I did on a bunch of people through Cured. And it's just, we have to listen to those whispers.
Yeah.
When we don't listen to those whispers, we're ignoring our true essence, like our core, our soul. And so I've been telling that story more because Ben simply said, yeah, this is what I want. I want to do this. I want to write poetry. And something so small that so many people may laugh at, but you just don't know the impact that you'll have by just saying yes to yourself and something that you want in your life.
Yeah.
It could, the ripple effect, like we don't know. We just simply don't know. So
that's incredibly powerful. I'm a firm believer. And this is something I've really changed my mind on these last couple of years is like spirituality and stuff. And like, I'm a firm believer that the universe is always sending you signs and always putting things and people in your life. It's just up to us to listen, to see those signs, to listen to the message that the universe is giving us. It's, I strongly believe that. And it sounds like you guys were put, you and Ben were put, your paths were supposed to cross that night.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. 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 It's, but it's, I think we complicate what our purpose is. It can be so simple. It can be so simple. It can be literally go make people feel something by writing a poem. That ripple effect can be so far. You saying, hey, I need to go step into this AA meeting. You didn't know back then the life that you would have now, the business that you would have now, but that's where it all started, right?
Yeah.
And it's just a little ping, a little recognition, and we just have to listen to ourselves.
Yeah. And not be afraid of doing something really fucking scary. you know, that's usually where the magic happens, and you don't even know the end result, but you just know you have to take that step forward because your life depends on it.
Yeah.
And other people.
And other people's lives. And you just don't know. You just don't know. And so there's an urgency to it because at the end of the day, we all have a day, we all have an hour, we all have a second where our life's going to end and we're not promised anything. And so if we just sit here and say, one day when I, then I will, we're going to be doing that the rest of our lives.
I know.
But it's hard. It's scary, like you said, Beth, because there's the unknown. This is, I actually have been mentoring more entrepreneurs over the last several years, just because into my third year of business, my business was almost like gone. I didn't know how to run a business in the beginning. And one thing that I recognize is that a lot of us, and this is true for anybody, probably in just physical transformation, like transforming our body, what we try to do is we try to project into the future and try to think about, could we be the person that handles those situations, like the what ifs and everything that we think is going to come up? But we're trying to project into the future and we don't know what we're going to know when we're actually in that situation and when we're actually going to have to respond to those new difficulties. And so much of us are living our lives thinking that we're not capable of making the hard decision because we think that if it goes wrong, that we won't be able to handle or be capable of handling whatever that situation is in the future. But guess what? We don't know what we're capable of yet because mm-hmm. we haven't yet tested ourselves.
Yeah.
And so when we're trying to project into the future and think if we're capable of doing these things, you haven't met that version of yourself. And I always tell entrepreneurs this, like, that's really scary, right? Like, I can't tell you if you're going to be like exactly what you need to do. But what I can tell you is the person that you are now is not as capable as the person as you will be in the future because you expose yourself to more difficulty. Mm-hmm. You expose yourself to more discomfort. So many successful people say it's about the journey, but, and I've actually come to believe that that's true, but I don't think the journey or an adventure starts unless you get uncomfortable. How mm-hmm. could it be considered an adventure or a journey if you're just comfortable? Like, that's not a journey to me.
Yeah.
So
no thrill there. There's no excitement.
Yeah.
No challenges, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So life's interesting. I love it. I love like challenging myself. I love the journey of entrepreneurship and personal mm-hmm. development and all of this, because without it, without Ben, I wouldn't be sitting here with you two. Without the body, mm-hmm. like the fitness world actually built my business. And mm-hmm. so it's just the idea of chance and the idea of making a decision to just vote on yourself. I mean, for you, both of you, where you're helping people in their transformation, when somebody invests in their self, what they're doing is they're voting for themselves. They're voting for that future version of themselves. They're saying that, yes, I value who I can become more than the feeling of how scary it is to invest $500, $1,000, whatever it may be. Like, I trust that that future can be real for me. I know that this discomfort will shuttle me into that future. But it's really hard to think from that perspective until you've done it a couple of times. But once you've done it a couple of times, then you start doing it more and more frequently and it gets scarier and scarier, but you right. just keep going, yeah, I'm going to do it.
The hard stuff gets harder and harder. Yeah. It's like, okay, throw yeah. something else at me. I can do it.
Yeah.
You know? Right. Well, how hard can we get here?
Yeah.
I just think back to using the coaching analogy. Like mm-hmm. when I first started trying to start my own business, I definitely hired coaches. I've hired lots of coaches, but that first business coach that I hired was the most difficult decision, one of the most difficult decisions I ever made because of that fear of failure. And I didn't have the confidence in myself. But after I hired that coach, I hired another coach after that. And now I'm always going to hire a coach. I'm always going to have a coach because I see the value in it. And I'm confident that it's going to help me take it to the next level and help me solve problems. And that's really what it's all about.
Yeah. Because we can't see, we don't know what we don't know. We can't see what we haven't experienced. And a lot of times somebody that's just maybe a couple steps further down the road can mm-hmm. help, like watch out for that, like step over that crack and just do that. Whether you want to listen to me or not, you're going to figure it out. So here's an opportunity. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's the fear of failure too, for a lot of people. It's like, I just don't want to fail, but actually I want to fail, right? Because I think failing, you learn from that experience. Mm-hmm. That's what I take it as. Okay. How can I be better then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Failure is not the opposite of success. It's literally right. part of success. You're
yes.
going to fail. Yeah. You're going
exactly.
to setback. It's like how you respond to those failures and to those setbacks mm-hmm. is what matters. Can you use them as learning opportunities? What could you do better? What went wrong? Yeah, there's always opportunities to learn. I hate that word failure, but it's true. There is no real such thing as a failure. In my opinion, the only failure is not trying or,
right.
or quitting and throwing in the towel altogether and not seeing the value in yourself. That to me is the real travesty.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing more frustrating than being a year down the road and recognizing that your life hasn't changed at all.
Mm. Like, ouch.
It's like, yeah. Oh, like, oh, I'm here again in this exact same situation. I had the opportunities, but I didn't say yes to them, or I didn't allow myself to get uncomfortable. I had a mentor once say, he said, you should associate the word failure with feedback. There's somewhere in that experience that's giving you feedback. And as long as you can see the feedback, then you can turn that into a win. You can turn that into acceleration. And that's, I just really like that reframe, because like you said, Matt, you just have to respond. And to the ability that we're responding is the ability that we're alive. If you're not alive, you can't respond. But if you're alive, you can respond.
Like that.
Ed Milet says, you think about what are those, if a paramedic is trying to shock somebody, I don't know what it's called, but like start their heart again. Mm-hmm. He goes, well, what happens when they do that? If you come back to life, you're basically responding to that electrical shock. And he mm-hmm. said, to the ability that we can respond is the ability of us to be alive. And I was just, when I heard that, I was like, that's so impactful, because that's our responsibility, is we just get to respond. You get to make a decision, see what happens, and then respond. And if it doesn't go the way that you want it to, then you respond in a way that allows yourself to go, okay, how can I be better? What can I do? And that for me was huge in entrepreneurship, because in the beginning of years of entrepreneurship, and for a lot of my life, I was such a finger pointer. Mm-hmm. It was because of this, or it was because mm-hmm. of that. It was because mm-hmm. of this. And when my business almost went out of business at the end of 2019, in the beginning of 2020, I had read the book Extreme Ownership. And whatever you think about Jocko, he's an interesting man. But in the book, it's just, if you can take responsibility for everything, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, but specifically the bad, and you can say, well, something bad may have happened to me, but I have the ability to take responsibility for how I respond. Yeah. Then your whole frame of life completely changes, because you recognize that while bad things can still happen, you're in the driver's seat of what happens next.
Yeah.
And
I like that.
Yeah. It's just, I think that's the beauty of life, is just feeling like you're in the driver's seat mm-hmm. even when bad things happen, because you have an opportunity to do something with it.
Absolutely. Yep.
You were just talking about that today, Matt.
Yeah.
Actually.
I just made a video about that this morning, literally almost verbatim.
Yeah.
Exactly. you always can control how you respond to any given situation to you. Mm-hmm. Shitty things are going to happen to us. It's almost inevitable, almost on a daily basis. It's how we respond to them that matters. It really is. Like these triggers, you can heal your triggers. You can respond appropriately to the triggers, whatever they might be. You've always got that choice. Yeah. You're always one. Yeah. And you're always just one choice away too. One action, one thought, one behavior.
Yeah.
Changing everything as you did.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't know who you're going to be.
As we've all done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think all of us here, like you can point to, like Beth, you're just saying in the car, driving with your kids, in that moment, you had an opportunity to make a decision, and everything that you have now has stemmed from that one decision,
mm-hmm.
that one moment. It's wild to think about that.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Right. But it's true.
It really is.
And you just have to be open to looking for it. Like you're saying, Matt, like looking, like the universe, I truly believe the same thing, that the universe is conspiring for us. That's who is that? Like the Wayne Dyer way of approaching life is that the universe is conspiring for you. It's whether you want to believe that or not.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
So speaking of failures, and you said Cured almost went out of business in 2019. What were some of those challenges that you were being faced with?
Yeah. Well, in the early days of entrepreneurship for me, I always explain it like this, that it's like the hammer. The hammer looks at everything as a nail. When I first became an entrepreneur, I looked at everything as a business opportunity. It's like, oh, there's an opportunity. This is opportunity. This is opportunity. And we jumped at a bunch of opportunities, but it was under my lead. And so in the beginning days of Cured, we had a hemp farm in Boulder, Colorado. We had a manufacturing facility down close to Denver. We had the brand Cured and we were selling supplements, but we were also manufacturing for other companies. We were doing white label products.
Okay.
If you were to try to look at a map of the Cured business from a bird's eye view, it would have looked like we were going in five or six different directions. And what ended up happening was our capital or our resources, our money, was trying to go in five different directions because that's where our focus was. And as that happened, we just completely took our eye off the ball of what was actually driving our business. Like, what was the thing that was making this business happen and grow and drive sales? And when I hired my first mentor, he pointed that out to me. And what the failure was just not staying focused enough. I was trying to go at way too many opportunities. Mm-hmm. And the why behind our business was everything that we've shared: to help people through an alternative path, through helping support human struggles that all of us feel. That didn't require us having a hemp farm. That didn't require us manufacturing. That didn't require us doing all of those things. And so in business, you have to really figure out why you're doing what you're doing and making sure that you're making decisions through that lens. Why we were approaching all of those other opportunities was because we just saw them as opportunities, but it wasn't actually pushing our mission forward. It wasn't pushing the true purpose of helping people forward. The brand Cured and the supplements and the marketing and our messaging and our education does that. But all the other things, we could have just had partnerships for those. And that's what we do now, is we have partnerships for all those. Mm-hmm. But for me as an early entrepreneur, I just wasn't focused enough. I think that a lot of entrepreneurs experience this. A lot of just people do. It's the bright, shiny object syndrome. It's like,
I was just going to go there. That's exciting.
That's exciting. Yeah. And I did that big time in the early years. And it was like the inch deep, mile wide focus versus inch wide, mile deep focus. Now we're just so focused in one area. Mm-hmm. And in my early years, I was not at all.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're trying to do everything yourself. Like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and that. It's like, okay, now, no, you can delegate. It's like, no, mm-hmm. Let's hire out for this, let's hire out for that. And yeah, I feel you. It's like when I started my own online coaching business. It's either I take 100 clients on myself, or I actually relinquish my control and hire an assistant coach to start, you know, or it's like sink or fucking swim.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And we see the same thing.
You just don't know those things.
Right.
We see that business analogy too can be used for our listeners too, with their own health and wellness, the shiny object syndromes. Like,
yes.
And this is what we are always telling people, like, focus on the basics, these foundational things, get brutally good with them, really brutally consistent with them. That's going to be the change that you're looking for right there. It's not in X diet or X fat loss supplement or whatever they're trying this month. It's the basic shit that they need to be doing. And it's just like you being hyper-focused,
brutally
focused on what your mission was. And it's like, are the actions meeting the goals? Your actions weren't necessarily meeting your goals for the business at that time. Once you got really crystal fucking clear on it, it all kind of started aligning.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love about your guys' content and everything that you do, is you can get caught up in all these dogmatic approaches on the internet, or you could just say, what if I was in a 100-calorie deficit every day over the course of 36 days? Okay. Right. You could lose a pound, right?
Yeah.
That's really simple, but worry about all the other things in the sauces and this and that. And it's like, that's way too complicated for somebody that just wants to lose 5 pounds. Like, keep it simple and keep it focused. And that's what I love it. I love you guys and your content and everything that you put out there into the world, because it's not as hard as a lot of the content on social media is making it out to be. And you don't have to kill yourself and worry about all of these things that people are screaming about on the internet.
Yeah. Majoring in the minors, we call it.
I love that.
Well, awesome to hear that from you, man, because we believe in your mission, your company's mission statement. I think I saw on your Instagram the other day, you're aiming to change 1 million minds about cannabis. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. I love that message. Yeah. And after, I know Beth met you and the team last year, and I just met you all in Vegas. Like mm-hmm. it reaffirms that we made the right decision to collaborate with you guys and work with you guys and use your products, because that's not something we take lightly. Like
yeah,
we have never been one to promote you. We've never promoted anything on our podcast and never had partnerships. And I don't even use a lot of supplements myself. Mm-hmm. So like, it really meant something for us to work with you. And yeah. when we met you in Vegas, I was like, we made the right decision, because absolutely. You guys are a great team. You, Hannah, Will, you guys are incredible.
Our people.
Yeah.
Our people.
Yeah, sure. Right back
for
at
sure.
you guys.
For sure.
Right back at you. Right back at you.
When I was getting to know Hannah, I was like, it was so cool, because like her and her husband are like rock climbing. I'm following them right now. I saw her Instagram. I was like, oh my God, like that's incredible. So
yeah,
like everything we're all about, you guys and your team are all about. And it just mm-hmm. made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we appreciate the partnership and everything that you guys are doing in the world. And we're just in the beginning phases, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. For sure. For sure. You know what I want to ask you? What happened to the CBD drink? I missed that.
Yeah.
We love
that so much.
That's a similar story to just staying focused on what you're good at. Okay. We're really good at creating products. And so uh-huh. we can create a product, but the business model of ready to drink beverages compared to direct to consumer online supplements is so different. So we opened probably 150, 200 stores in Colorado, just individual retailers. We had a distributor. We ended up investing in a big new office warehouse so we could store all the drinks in the pallets. Mm-hmm. And if you started to run the numbers around what we were putting into it versus what we were getting out of it, and the amount of how much of a different business model it was from our online supplements, it just didn't make sense. But I have to tell you, it's so hard every time we get rid of a product, because so many people will say, you guys are so good at creating products that are whatever, tasty, work well, whatever.
Yeah.
And so that was really hard to get rid of. We actually have a lot of people that come to us and say, hey, we would love to purchase the rights to it. So it could come back in the future, yeah. but maybe under different, same name, but somebody else actually managing it. So if you know anybody, let us know.
Yeah. Anybody listening has some capital.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Joe, this has been a great interview. We've really appreciated getting to know you a little bit better. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your mission statement. We believe in it wholeheartedly. Could you give yourself an opportunity? Where can people find you if they want to learn more about you? Cured Nutrition, please give yourself a shout out here.
Yeah. So on Instagram, it's my full name, Joseph Sheehy, JosephSheehy. Feel free to reach out to me there if you have any questions. And then Cured Nutrition on Instagram is the best place to go. You can find our website on there. You can find all of our products linked in the post, but then directly to the website. And we have a podcast called The Cured Collective that has a bunch of information on it for the products. But Instagram is probably the best hub to find everything from Cured. And my team is always online, happy to answer questions, reach out to them at any time. We're here. When I say we're here to help people, I'm not just trying to blow smoke. I'm really saying that, like, if we recognize that our team members aren't going above and beyond to help other people, that's something that we don't take lightly. So if you're interested in sleep support, stress support, calming, any of those things, you can go directly to the website, but feel free to reach out as well.
Nice. For sure. And for anybody listening, if you're on the fence, since we are partnered with Cured Nutrition, you can use our coupon code CTC, get 20% off to entice it a little bit. I think you guys will love the products.
Yeah. And the link is always in the show notes.
For sure.
Beautiful.
All right, Joe, thank you so much for your time today, man. It's been great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Appreciate you too.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. So why not share with a friend who needs to hear it? Send us a DM on Instagram or email us at cutthecrappod@gmail.com and join our Patreon at patreon.com/cutthecrappodcast. As always, we appreciate you and thanks for being here.